This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
He allay your concerns that he'll be a president for all people, black and white. Well, certainly he said that he is going to represent Americans. He said that over and over again. And I think that we will continue to evaluate that. I think that the nation supports, I believe that that's his intent. But I think also we have to consistently engage with pressure, public pressure. It doesn't happen automatically. My father and his team understood that, did that, and I think that Americans are prepared to do that.
Isn't there something that just cuts to your core when you hear the president-elect refer to John Lewis as all talk and no action? I mean, nothing could be further from the truth, isn't that right? John Lewis is not all talk and no action.
No, absolutely I would say John Lewis has demonstrated that he's action. As I said, things get said on both sides. In the heat of emotion. And at some point, this nation, we've got to move forward. We can't stay on. I mean, people are literally probably dying. We need to be talking about how do we feed people? How do we clothe people? How do we create the best education system? That's what we need to be focused on.
Did you kind of come away with the sense that Martin Luther King III is from the same fabric and cloth of his father? I mean, here he is, a peacemaker. You know, blessed are the peacemakers. And, and here you got Jim Acosta. Of course, Acosta was the one who got slammed by the president and accused of being part of fake news, at the press conference. And Acosta's just digging in there. He just, you know, asking questions, you know, like, you know, doesn't it get to your core that, he would go after, John Lewis like this? You know, clearly John Lewis has issues. I mean, let's face it here. I mean, and we can be thankful for someone like Martin Luther King III, who is doing what he can to be a bridge builder and bring these disparate parties, especially in the midst of all this emotion. I mean, he could have flamed it up. He could have done like so many of these other quote unquote race baiters do, and just really push and widen the divide. But here he is as a peacemaker going, look at, you know, realistically, things are said in the heat of emotion, and they are. And you would only hope and pray that we'd get on the other side of this guy. What do you think?
Well, even the question asked to him was like a baiting question. Doesn't it cut you to the core?
Yes, exactly.
And then, you know, that's the first thing that he asked. And then he shifts it around to the question that he's actually asking. So now if he says yes, well, then they can say, well, it cuts him to the core.
Yeah.
But I thought he handled it great.
I thought it was very, very great. Very gracious, you know, trying to, again, hold it together, you know, and let's get these disparate parties. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm very disappointed that John Lewis cannot find room in his heart to work this out. Look, he's the president of the United States, just like President Obama was the president of the United States. And I know that people tried many times to get together with President Obama and to do something in a bipartisan spirit. And it just, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. And I know some people are saying, well, you know, from the very beginning, they were against him. You know, they said they would not help him out whatsoever. Well, you got to understand, the deal is that when somebody, you know, they're talking about ideology, you know, and if you have people, you know, for example, like you got people that are for abortion and you got people that are against abortion. What do we have to talk about, you know, other than, hey, maybe we can start a conversation and find out some areas to where, you know, what can we agree on here and maybe have the conversation? But it's so diametrically opposed, that's difficult to find, you know, some middle ground on, you know.
Well, and this is where, you know, you're going to actually find out if Trump is the king of the deal, you know, if he truly is that guy, because he's facing the exact same thing that they said that Obama faced, to where both sides don't want to work together.
Exactly. And I think that there's nothing like success to help that, you know, along. he demonstrates some success, they're going to want to come forward because, oh, by the way, there are some people in Congress that are up for election in 2 years, and they need to show something because America says, show me something.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym, my gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. As always, for more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. If you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Good, bad, or indifferent. Your opinion does count here. It's Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. David French is with a staff writer at the National Review, an attorney concentrating his practice in constitutional law and the law of armed conflict, and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. David French, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, David, I got to tell you, I really appreciate what you had to point out regarding Jeff Sessions. You say over 1,400 signatures were presented to the Senate urging against Jeff Sessions' appointment. Still, Democrats have yet to present a valid case discrediting the attorney general pick. And that came out loud and clear during the confirmation hearings when you had three black men that were opposed to, including Cory Booker, a sitting senator, and a congressman, and, well, actually two congressmen, because you got the other one, he's the chairman for the Congressional Black Caucus. So you had those three, and then you had another three who actually, surprisingly, you know, go figure, actually worked with Jeff Sessions, and we're talking 20, 30 years worth of direct experience, and they had concrete evidence that there was no racism in his background. There wasn't any demonstration at all in their experience, but yet these three other people came up and were suggesting, without any kind of specific example, just a broad brush type of indictment against Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, you know, that was really irritating to watch. They were essentially calling him, they were calling him out for being against people of color, for being against all of these various communities. And yet, what was the evidence that they were offering? They weren't offering any evidence. When you really boiled it down, it was basically saying, well, his conservative policies are wrong.
Exactly.
Well, you know, look, it's one thing to disagree with policies. And I get that. That's partisan politics. Mm-hmm. I disagree with progressive policies. It's another thing to impute racial malice or animus into that.
Exactly.
And
it started out that way, David. I mean, immediately they're talking about being put in the back of the bus. You know, they're using, you know, racial epithets in a way that I thought, whoa, this is really dangerous. And I was waiting for the chairman. And I think we need to come to that point where, you know, people in authority censure people on the spot to say that kind of conversation and that threat is irresponsible, especially when the chair of the Conservative Black Caucus said, he basically told the senators, look at, you know, if you approve of Sessions as the AG, anything that he does wrong is on you, and in a sense inferred that they themselves were racist.
Yeah, you know, what's infuriating is that it essentially it lacks any sense of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
So both John Lewis and Cory Booker were equating Sessions' preferred policies with the kinds of racial violence you saw in places like Selma in the 1960s, 1950s. But asking every American, white, black, any color, any ethnicity, creed, to produce a picture ID
Right.
At a voting booth, it's not like getting the fire hoses turned on people. It's not like Jim Crow. It's not in the same shouting distance. It's not, there's nowhere near. And in fact, in many places where voter ID was implemented, African-American turnout went up in prior elections. Now, it was down in some places, but this time, but I'd say that's much more due to the fact that the Democrats nominated a corrupt 70-year-old white progressive woman rather than the first black president in American history.
Yeah.
So, it's this utter lack of a sense of proportion, or the idea that the nation should control who comes in and should control illegal immigration is somehow being treated as a racist act. That's what's so outrageous, is that it essentially redefines racism as anything conservative.
Well, it gives way to the current narrative of fake news and that sort of thing, where things can so irresponsibly be put out in the marketplace without being challenged. And one of the things, especially whenever you get into racism, you mention back of the bus or you mention anything with the race card that's associated with it, it just stifles conversation because we don't want to offend anybody. Everybody backs off. But it's like, to me, it equated to somebody kind of using the N-word. If you say the N-word, that just stops all conversation. And here they are. They're closing everybody's mouth, putting them on notice. I thought it was disgusting because if they had something credible to say and present about Jeff Sessions and why he should not be appointed, then do so with facts and with truth. But there was all broad brush stuff that was unsubstantiated, and you're sitting there going, wait a minute, this is a sitting senator, two congressmen, and, I got to imagine they have some connection with the law, right? So, because I don't know if Booker's an attorney or I don't think John Lewis is, and I'm not sure of the other guy, but even still from that standpoint, in a court of law, you just can't throw stuff out there.
Right. I mean, it was very disappointing, but that's where our politics is trending. Our politics is trending towards, we're going to try to win by motivating our base with fear and hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one of the things that you see when claims like that are made is you'll see your Twitter timeline and your Twitter feed, if you defend Jeff Sessions, fill up with a whole bunch of regular folks who are utterly convinced that Jeff Sessions is a racist.
Right.
Completely convinced. Why are they convinced? Because they trust Cory Booker. They trust John Lewis. And so if John Lewis or Cory Booker is going to say somebody is a racist, especially John Lewis, then they're going to believe it. And it's easier to motivate people. It's very easy to motivate people with those kind of claims. It's harder to motivate people with policy arguments. I mean,
exactly.
I think we all know that.
Well, how do you reconcile Cory Booker's statement when just a year ago he's saying he's so proud to be standing next to Jeff Sessions? And then also you've got Jeff Sessions on a march commemorating was the Selma March, right? With John Lewis. So how do you reconcile those incidences?
You don't. Hmm. Oh, it's politics. I mean, very few people pay close attention to the news day in, day out, year in, year out. So the number of people who know that John Lewis marched with Jeff Sessions, or that Cory Booker and Jeff Sessions have had a great relationship in the past, it's vanishingly small, tiny, and insignificant compared to the number of people in the Democratic base who would say, well, some of my favorite politicians are calling, people I trust the most are calling this guy racist. He must be racist.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's unfortunate, especially when I think that we just came off of 8 very difficult and divisive years, David, where the hope for a lot of Americans was that the first black president would find a way to unite us and get us on the other side of this racial divide once and for all. But instead of building bridges to that end, like Martin Luther King, I heard bridges being blown up.
Well, I think it is a sad reality that race relations are worse now than before Obama came into office.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a lot of complicated reasons for that. I mean, some of it is he built up an unrealistic sense of hope about his presidency. I mean, this was going to be the new American dawn. I mean, remember, this was going to be when the rise of the ocean stopped and peace broke out across the world. And there's an awful lot of disillusionment that if you look at his list of promises, it was the gap between expectations and reality was huge. And then at the same time, you know, there was a rise, an increase in radicalism on the left.
Well, David, we got to go to break. We'll leave it right there. David French, I'm Bill Martinez live. More from David, right?
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention, investors saving for retirement. What if you could store your IRA or 401k where you can see, touch, and hold it in your hands in the form of physical gold and silver coins? You know you can't do that with your stocks. With the Augusta Gold and Silver IRA, you can transfer retirement savings into physical coins and store them where you can actually hold them in your hands, where you can get your gold fast in a disaster. Augusta Precious Metals offers free shipping, zero management fees, and Augusta pays all upfront costs. Getting started is absolutely free, so call today, 855-222-5857. Rated A+ with the Better Business Bureau, Augusta Precious Metals enjoys a 98% 5-star customer satisfaction rating with TrustLink.org. Trust Augusta. Call toll-free, 855-222-5857 now for your free guide to Augusta Gold IRAs. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Seine, The Journey of a Conspiracy Analyst, author C.L. Hendman ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into the stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreontheseine.com. That's S-E-I-N-E.com. bookstoreontheseine.com.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of his Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always good to have you along with us. Our conversation with David French, staff writer at the National Review, continues. David, I wanted to give you a chance to kind of summarize what we were trying to wrap up on the other side, and that is the unrealistic expectation of one Barack Obama in terms of healing the racial divide.
Yeah. I mean, he came in, you know, with huge expectations that he helped stoke and build up. that he was going to be this transcendent and transformational president. And then you had some cultural and academic and intellectual forces that were pretty much out of his control building at the same time, that were really doubling down on identity politics, doubling down on radicalism. And, you know, there are times when that impulse was calling out campus censors and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that had a momentum all its own. And then, you know, you had the Black Lives Matter movement launch in response to some controversial police shootings. And the next thing you know, we're in a situation right now where the situation feels not as volatile as the 1960s and early 1970s, thankfully,
yeah,
but headed in that direction.
Right. Well, this is where leadership comes into play, and that's where we'd hope that Barack Obama would be able to do that. Leadership takes you from where you are and gives you a vision of where you need to be and works hard to get you there. And I don't think he had the desire. I think he could talk about it, but boy, I'm telling you, you got to really roll up your sleeves and get ready for some heavy lifting to take on, you know, a topic like that, don't you?
Oh yeah. Well, and the thing is, when you're talking about stuff like that, you also have to be able to deliver hard truths to your own side,
yeah,
which is a really tough thing to do. And in our area of increased polarization, that's just not what people want to hear.
Right.
And so, you know, there was a lot of radicalism rising on the left that Obama, you know, as I said, a couple of times he called it out.
Mm-hmm.
But largely, you know, he allowed his DOJ to be an instrument of that radicalization.
Exactly.
And so you had an inability really to confront radicals on their own side. And that is one of the key reasons why we are so polarized right now.
And of course, you know, the era of fake news that we've entered into big time. This is the information age. Information's out there, and as you noted in another article, shame on BuzzFeed. I mean, they really deserve, you know, what they've created for themselves, because they, and of course, CNN was implicit in this as well, and called out at the president-elect's first news conference since the election.
Yeah, I mean, well, first, let's be clear. You know, I don't think anybody knows what is all true and what's not. Some things have been debunked that have been claimed against Trump, but the complete picture nobody knows. And
right.
And here's what responsible journalists do. I mean, I was somebody who was approached and several times during the primary where people said, I have this information or that information about Trump.
Right.
And I would respond, well, what's the proof? What's the evidence? And if there's no proof or no evidence, I'm not going to print it. I'm just
exactly.
not.
Right.
I'm sure it's the same way for you. Everybody mm-hmm. who works in the media or talks about politics is a rumor magnet.
Exactly.
You get rumors all over the place. And mm-hmm. and so BuzzFeed, what they did is they got this collection of essentially rumors, began to work to try to prove or disprove them, disprove some of it, hadn't proved any of it, and then published it. I still can't believe that. That
mm-hmm.
that blows my mind, and I can only imagine BuzzFeed's reaction if the opposite had happened, and this was some sort of dossier against Obama or against Hillary Clinton.
No, there wouldn't have been any printing whatsoever. We know that, but you know, still, I mean, for them to do this, I mean, how irresponsible. And then some people are saying, well, you know, it's okay. You just send it out there and let the chips fall where you're going to fall. Well, if that's the case, you're no longer a legitimate journalistic resource, are you?
No, you're not a journal. You're not. That's not journalism at all. All
right.
It is essentially being a group blog.
Right. Yes.
I mean,
And you're talking, you know, an organization like BuzzFeed. I mean, help people understand, David, if you would, how big BuzzFeed is. I mean, this isn't somebody operating out of their, you know, out of their kitchen table here.
No, I mean, this is a media entity worth, some people speculate, close to $1 billion.
Yes, I've heard.
And hundreds of millions of dollars. And it treated its you know, multi-hundred-million-dollar web property like it's a glorified version of Dropbox. You just could have put a PDF up there and let the chips fall where they may. And And the thing is here, I mean, look, when BuzzFeed did what it did, it also said, well, we'll let Americans decide. What are they talking about? Americans don't have BuzzFeed's resources to track this down. How many
exactly.
of us have sources in Moscow? How many,
right.
you know, how right. many of us have the resources of an intelligence agency or a newsroom to try to determine the truth? We don't have those resources, which is exactly why those entities with resources, like the New York Times, which didn't print this stuff to its credit,
mm-hmm.
And like others, use those resources to try to figure out if something is true before they put it into the public domain.
I got to tell you, I was surprised, frankly. I mean, I know CNN gets out there, but I was surprised they got caught on this.
Well, I'm going to offer a defense of CNN here. What they
okay.
did was not what BuzzFeed did.
Mm.
What they did is they reported a fact that sources told them that Trump was briefed that there are those who believe that Russians have compromising information on him,
mm.
and that he was presented with a two-page summary of some of those claims. Now, that, from all indications, seems to be true, that mm. occurred. That's different from saying, and here were the allegations in detail, full of rumor
right,
and innuendo.
Right.
And
yeah.
so that's the difference between CNN and BuzzFeed. CNN, to my knowledge, just merely said the truth, that he mm. had been briefed on this.
When I saw the reporting on that, David, I think had they just said that, that would have been fine. But they seem to offer some innuendo and suggestion. Again, all based on the narrative and their worldview that seems to be very much anti-Trump. And I heard, you know, some, you know, back and forth between some of the reporters there, not Jim Acosta necessarily, but a couple of their other reporters. And I thought, wow, that's pretty risky. You're getting out there a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think what happens is you take the hard news reporting that, say, a Jake Tapper does.
Yes.
Who's a very fair guy. You take the hard news reporting, and then CNN, like everybody else, then has these panels of partisans and so-called experts.
Mm.
And then they take that hard reporting and they chew over it with a whole bunch of partisan opinion making.
Yes.
And so you know, Jake Tapper's report, I believe, stands as valid journalism and good journalism. As far as everything else that happened on CNN, when you have all of the partisans tearing it apart piece by piece, can't vouch for the rest of that. But for BuzzFeed, I can vouch for none of that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they pretty much laid it out there. You know, it's gotten to the point here with this fake news and, you know, kind of a breakdown in journalistic principles and, you know, and morals, I guess, or ethics, is that now you've got a state congressman in California trying to legislate against fake news. I said, why do we need a law for that, right?
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what we have is a problem. Fake news, in other words, reporters intentionally or fake news outlets springing up to intentionally pass on fake information, that's a really relatively small problem in the swing and the great scheme of things. What's a big problem is gullible news.
Yes.
And gullible news is when you have reporters who have pre-existing biases or limited knowledge bases falling for bad reports, bad information that reinforces their worldview. And that, so for example, there was a report issued by an academic entity.
We've got about 15 seconds here left, David. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Democracy in North Carolina was as bad as it was in Cuba. Reporters fell for that. That's gullible news.
Yeah, help us, please. David French, a staff writer at National Review, an attorney concentrating his practice in constitutional law and a law of armed conflict. David French, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America today. Today.
Your program.
Hey, don't you love it about this country?
We still,
yes, okay, all right. So you faked me out there, big voice. Hey, don't you love it still that this country still is a beacon of hope in the midst of all the travails and the challenges we go through? And millennials, it's not only you to know what you believe in. I mean, that's kind of like a warning, you know, to all of us, including some congressmen with some of the silly stuff that's been coming out of there lately. Hey, welcome back, America. 27 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live. Dr. John Chervin is with us right now. And John is a part-time lecturer in psychology at Harvard Medical School, a director of Cambridge Counseling Associates, author of a new book, Collateral Damage, Guiding and Protecting Your Child Through the Minefield of Divorce. He's the original member of the advisory board for the Dr. Phil Show and professor of psychology emeritus at Helena College. Dr. Chervin, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Great to be with you, too, Bill.
Well, you know, we've come such a long way from, you know, this idea and this concept that, you know, you don't want to be in a messy marriage, that somehow it's better for kids. And we've got so much empirical evidence to cause us to look a little bit deeper into the minefields, as you put it, of divorce.
Yes, that's true. The fact is that we have over 1 million kids every year who go through the divorce process, and it remains, in spite of let's call it the commonness of divorce in our culture and kind of acceptance in many ways, and the less parental shame that occurs, a great deal of anguish that kids still go through.
I think one of the biggest mistakes our society made was when it embraced and allowed you know, the legal profession to invent no-fault divorce. Just in my humble opinion, John, I got to tell you, I think it gives people an easy way out. You know, now we're at 50%, which means that if we're at 50%, any one of the parties is 50% of the problem. And now we're sending that 50% out to get another 50%,
the legal
right?
profession, because the major point that is made is that we want to make decisions in the best interest of the children,
right.
yet the courts really become often the arena of the ultimate battle.
Yeah, exactly, because somehow they put themselves in a position that they know best, right?
Or that they're in the position to kind of engage really the process of battle, and that's right. Those sparks are the pieces that seem to have the most detrimental effects on kids, much less the fact that their senses of their life and their parents, their very foundation is being pulled in two directions.
Well, and to your point, it's no longer about the kids. How many hours can I bill here? I know this sounds rather sarcastic, and you're talking to somebody who's experienced this, so maybe I'm a little hard-hearted, but I'm only this way to warn people about what they're getting themselves into. You know, it's the old business model of people will do that which they get rewarded for. Well, if you got attorneys getting rewarded for billing hours, guess what they're going to do? They're going to rack up those hours, keep up that contention, and meanwhile, what gets lost in the wake of all this harassment and insanity are the kids whose lives are just bouncing around. And I mean, it's heartbreaking.
And I think that image in and of itself demonstrates this point of collateral damage, because all the action seems to be, you know, with the parents and somewhere else outside, as you say, maybe in the courtroom, but very much in the shadow are these children.
Yeah. Don't you find it rather ridiculous? I mean, it wasn't that long ago, you know, I sitting there in divorce court and you go, well, wasn't that long ago, you know, they were having a wedding and parents were putting money, all this stuff going on. It was love, roses, rainbows. And it seems like such a fine line between love and discontentment and divorce proceedings.
Well, that's another interesting point. And you actually started your comments about, like, the larger political issues that are going on. And I think it references a very real part of our brain. We can organize our rational thinking to focus on something that we want to see in a positive way. And clearly our emotions around things can shift. So the very very person that we lift up with this kind of halo effect can be the person who we ultimately see eventually in a most negative frame.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your book, Collateral Damage, Guiding and Protecting Your Children Through the Minefield of Divorce, I would say, if I might take a little liberty and just say the first objective is don't get a divorce to begin with, you know, stay away from there. But if that's what if that's the reality, if that's what you're dealing with, because, you know, even when, you know, the children of Israel asked Jesus, hey, what about the divorce? And he, you know, why did Moses authorize divorce? And he said, well, because of the hard-heartedness of the people. You know, we get so hard-hearted that right. there's just no communication. And so here it is. And then, hey, let the dominoes fall and the devastation goes. And now the kids are part of it. So I'd say the first thing you do is you do what you can to avoid it. But hey, look at now you have no choice. You're going through it. I mean, or you've had a choice, but you decided not to use that option. So now you're going to go through a divorce. So how do we protect our kids?
Right. So I think the fact is, let's say that they are experiencing this as you're placing it. And for children, oftentimes they feel that it's the end of the family. They feel that it's the end of their childhood. And unfortunately, as you also suggest, in cases, that is the case. And it is a function in my mind of the way parents respond. It does not have to be the end of your child's family. It can be a transition into a new situation. And there are cases for sure when the agony of the marriage and the battle of the marriage is absolutely more detrimental than the idea of retaining a connection and of a divorce ensuing. So that it makes sense in some instances. But the big point, and I think that's what you're driving to, is how to protect the children. And that becomes the most important issue. And I think, first of all, it's really to attune to your children that, in fact, every divorce, of course, is unique. Every kid goes through it in a unique way, so we can't go through some list and say do this and do that.
Right.
We even find, certainly in the divorce study that we did for this, of over 10,000 children and parents of divorce, that although many parents or a sizable number sent their children to counseling, many times the kids didn't even find that useful. So is that really attuning to the child? the other big piece is that for parents, they sometimes feel like they're speaking to their children. But again, in that study that we just did, over 76% of kids felt like they never really spoke with their parents, and over 80% felt like they could not express their feelings. So here the parents have one perception of what's going on, and the children are left really unsure, because they don't really know if communicating with them about what they're thinking or feeling is hurting their parents more, or really something that the parents want to hear. And then going into, you know, how to proceed, that becomes a very important task. And oftentimes, even as we began speaking about this, this becomes a topic of the parents, you know, mm-hmm. who are going to have a divorce. But this is also the children's lives. This is the children's family. So finding the appropriate way for them to weigh in and feel a part of it, as opposed to feeling outside of it, is critical. In the way in which we address it, managing the emotions, as we've already conveyed, is critical, and that is the emotions of the parents, because we can be in tailspins and not recognize that oftentimes we're putting the kids in the position of literally parenting the parents, because the parents are unavailable.
Exactly.
Or, maybe the kids get caught in some kind of a splitting war where they're who's giving me the better benefits. And these are extremely detrimental experiences for kids, because children are very much like little plants. They need a lot of support, and they need nutrients, and they need light, and they need direction, and they need, you know, the kind of watering that parents need to be present for. So sustaining that parental role and not abdicating that, which of course gets much more complicated with blended families, becomes the other critical piece. So this idea of nurturance is the most important piece that we're wanting to offer, that the relationship that you retain is so critical. Your children need you most in this process, and kids always need their parents, but in the face of divorce, they need them to be more highly attuned. So if we're taking this on, it requires that we're really moving with a high level of energy and attention to our children. We cannot perceive that somehow the children are commodities. They are really commitments.
Exactly. We're talking with Dr. John Sherbin, Collateral Damage, Guiding and Protecting Your Child Through the Minefield of Divorce. We've got more from John coming up right after the break. Stay with us, America.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many of the nation's top plans, Walgreens offers copays now as low as $0 on select plans. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, which means you could be saving big. So switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
We're all looking for safe, effective, and all-natural remedies for ourselves and our family. The solution is Simplex. Simplex oils provide natural anti-inflammatory and pain relief, antioxidant and nerve protection, and is an amazing topical acne removal and skincare supplement. Natural healing at a very affordable price. Find out more about our non-psychoactive CBD oil products. Go to SimplexSpecials.com. That's SimplexSpecials.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
If we keep on dancing, take the rhythm to new heights. Feel the heat of passion, baby. Light up the night.
Hey, just what you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. Our conversation with Dr. John Cherban continues. His book, Collateral Damage, Guiding Protecting Your Child Through the Minefield of Divorce. You might be familiar with John's name and maybe have seen him many times yourself with Dr. Phil. The Harvard psychologist is a frequent guest on Dr. Phil, also served on the advisory board since the show's inception. Well, Dr. Cherban, as we talk about this situation about avoiding the minefields of divorce, and, there are some warning signs for parents, especially right when they, when everything begins and the dominoes start falling. It's like this whirlwind of, kind of a tsunami or tornado goes through the household. And mm-hmm. Here's these young kids having to be the effect of this. And, the thing that always bothers me instantly is when one of the parents wants to use the kids as, as kind of, a pawn in the game, if I can reduce it to that sure. lowest common denominator. That's just most disturbing.
Well, that's correct. And often children will speak about the fact that that becomes part of the process. Parents are not intentionally wanting to do that. Of course, if you were to ask them when they're thinking clearly, do they care about their kids and they want to help them? And, they'll give you all the appropriate responses. Again, we found that in the survey. But the fact is, where are the behaviors? And in the behaviors, they're really driven by oftentimes the fears of the parents and the emotions of the parents, and that becomes that's really the central piece of what we're trying to address here. For the kids, they're going through, as you're conveying, this aloneness, the isolation, kind of a fear, kind of being silenced, and who is tuning into that? What mm-hmm. is going on for the parent, for the child? And,
exactly.
and the parent is not necessarily attending in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's chaos because, right. here it is. When you are, even when it's dysfunctional, it's your dysfunction. You know what to count on.
That becomes the correction, which mm-hmm. is for the children, they really, maybe both parents can't do that. But mm-hmm. if just one parent does that, if just one parent tunes in, we can really shift. And that's what this study is showing, that divorce, we often speak about the extraordinarily negative consequences of divorce, and they're there. I mean, we uh-huh. can certainly reference it. I think the construct of is it divorce is the appropriate question, because it's not really divorce which is going to have these negative effects. And the negative effects, you know, are related to academic failures of kids and
exactly.
Drug abuse, criminal behavior. I mean, the issues are emotional and dramatically physiological, not even transparently the emotional, you know, anxiety and depression. They really get large. But it doesn't have to be that way, because if one of the parents, just one, much less two, can tune into their task and really being present, the child can stay on his or her course.
Yeah. Well, you bring up an excellent point, and that is, you know, are we giving the kids a fair shot at being successful? And you've got the empirical evidence to say that when you know, the minds are exploding and, you know,
and no one's attending,
and no one's attending, then, you know, you've got kids out there left to their own devices.
That's correct. And I think that is where, I mean, even in the home, you know, that the children would report, you know, that they try to maybe raise a question, but, you know, their mom or their dad are upset or preoccupied or, you know, so that they start taking care, as we said earlier, of the parent or adjusting, you know, their role. And it's not the child kind of seeking support. It's the parent maybe getting support. So the roles get reversed. And that's very damaging because the kids aren't really prepared with all that material.
Exactly. Well, Dr. John, you say that, you know, it's not a one size fits all. But yet there's some practical things, I think, that could be universal here. Don't you think?
Absolutely, you know, and I think that is what we're trying to zero in on here, and it is really about, you know, helping the child kind of come into both their truth and their direction. What happens oftentimes in the face of divorce is the basic trust gets shaken for the kids, like, which parent here can I trust? They might not verbalize it in those words,
right.
But, you know, they're really finding, you know, the right hand is against the left hand, so it's like, who is right here? And I think, you know, a spiritual direction can be extremely valuable, or at least whatever that truth is that a parent can direct their child to, because oftentimes children can't just take their parents, or don't feel they can, at face value. It's like, this is what I feel, your mom's wrong, or your dad's wrong, or whatever. But I think really getting into that positive energy and permitting the child in their age-appropriate place to be a kid. I mean, most kids just want to play or be, you know, with an age-appropriate direction. That stuff often gets taken off the table in the face of divorce, whether it's for financial reasons or time reasons, or maybe even the emotional support. Kids aren't finding that parents are emotionally there. And the point is, you really might need to be creating new rituals,
exactly.
New directions for the family to, in that transition of what is our family now, and seeing it in a positive, constructive way. To kind of put to the side, yes, we, you know, Houston, we have a problem, but
right.
It doesn't mean, you know, we can't
yes.
breathe. We can also breathe,
right.
And we could also take actions which are positive, having fun and experiencing life. It doesn't have to envelop the entire experience, because that's the distortion.
Well, the challenge with anything, and you mentioned the spiritual aspect of it, is whenever we think it's about us, that's probably problem number one.
Well, I think that's great, you know, because I think that's the issue of perspective, because it does get so emotional.
Yes.
And understandably so. I mean, people can feel that their life is threatened, that their children may be taken away. I mean, the stakes are extraordinarily high. But as you're conveying here, that spiritual peace and that perspective can be life-saving.
You know, without a doubt, and on all levels. But it requires, as you say, an adult in the room, you know, somebody who's a little bit more mature. And sometimes what I've been able to observe is that role can change from time to time. You know, where one time it might be somebody that you think, hey, there's no way this person's going to build a bridge or be sensitive. You know, maybe they just get to that point in the process of the divorce that they're able to, you know, have enough perspective on it. They say, you know what, it is about the kids.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, roles reverse there. And so, you know, like anything in life, you know, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken, right?
Right, right. And I think also that humility issue that somehow, you know, I think people in the face of divorce get into a tailspin, and they're often trying to control things which maybe are outside of their control. I mean, the fact is, We have to accept the fact that divorce does have often, even in the most amicable ways, you know, even in the most arranged places, and I certainly have stories in the book that describe that, where the parents feel like they've got everything taken care of. Again, they're not in touch with some of the experiences that are there. So accepting that the divorce has painful consequences, that there are losses, and recognizing that the game has changed. You know, if your spouse is no longer your spouse, you need to really adjust to that. It is a new relationship, and you have to figure out what is the communication going to be like to manage that. And oftentimes, and that's often what that battle is in the court, are these unresolved emotional experiences of trying to work through who was right and who was wrong and what that person did. And, you know, the game has changed. That's not really so relevant anymore. The question is, what is now?
And as you say, Dr. John, you know, you have a new relationship. That means a new journey, new experiences. I mean, it could be another person involved. It could be, and I'm not saying right from the get-go, although there's some that get real messy, and that is just way too complicated, you know, and that bruises my brain to even bring that into play, but that's reality. But down the road, you know, you start introducing other outside people, you know, to the relationship. I mean, you might even get into the point where there's stepkids, you know, all this stuff comes into play, and it's almost like this new life, this new relationship has to go through its cycle of experiences, you know, in order for you to adapt. I'm talking about the parents and then the kids as well.
Well, I think that is another critical point that you're raising, which is, again, people are on different, you know, time schedules. Yeah. For the children, they're just maybe trying to adjust to what's happening. And oftentimes, it's not like a family and a team working on a plan. It's individuals who are in different places. And sometimes parents actually let go of the notion that there is this family, and especially when people race into new families and the children are there saying, you know, this is my new father, this is my new mother, this is my new sibling, you know, I haven't weighed in on this. In fact, I haven't even gotten through where I'm at with the other ones, or where are the other ones, or where am I?
Right.
Especially the kids, where am I?
Yeah, and now I gotta share a bedroom with somebody. I mean, all those things come into play, no doubt. You know, Dr. Sherman, we've got about a minute left here. And to kind of summarize here, for people who find themselves in this situation to where it is inevitable, they've made a decision. They're going to go through a divorce. I mean, I would say, first of all, get your hands on Dr. Sherman's book, Collateral Damage, Guiding and Protecting Your Child Through the Minefield of Divorce. What else would you recommend?
Well, I think the point of that, recognizing the family continues, I think the point we addressed or raised about the spiritual point, you know, that somehow we are all, in my mind, children of God. You know, it's not like the parent needs to feel like they're at the helm. But I think having that good direction and providing that and helping the child integrate with that makes sense. You know, this construct that, as we said, of divorce being the problem, I mean, there can be substantial consequences, and really attending to what is your child going through, what attuning, you know, as I talk about it.
Exactly, being present, exactly, without a doubt. Well, excellent book, great research, great information here. Collateral Damage, Guiding and Protecting Your Child Through the Minefield of Divorce. Thousands of interviews there that could help you if this is your inevitable choice. Dr. John Sherman on Bill Martinez Live. John, thank you so much for being with us.
Bill, thank you so much. My pleasure.
Offer not valid in all states and where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone, and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com. And you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Why be held hostage?